Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of the Real Ones podcast. I'm your host, David, and today I'm joined by the wonderful Alicia. Hi.
Hey, David. How you doing?
I'm great. Thank you for coming on.
Of course. It's my pleasure.
Awesome. Yeah. I know we were talking like 5 seconds before we just hit record, but thank you for coming on, really. Thank you for reaching out. I really appreciate that.
Of course. I appreciate you really putting out that energy and asking people to be on your podcast. That takes a lot of initiative and confidence. So I'm just happy to support your dreams.
Thank you. I appreciate you. Have you ever been on a podcast before? I forget.
Yes, I have, twice.
Ooh. Okay. And how was that experience for you?
I love it. I love coffee chats. I love networking. You never mm-hmm. know what you're going to learn. So to me, it's a pick me up usually. Yeah. 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 I usually schedule my coffee chats or my networking, my podcast in the in the afternoon. Yeah. When I'm actually tired, because it's a pick me up. It just makes me feel so refreshed. It's like coffee for me.
I like it. Has anyone ever told you that you have a very positive, I guess, like a positive energy as a whole, as a person?
Yes, they have. Thank you so much. Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Because your good vibes are coming through the screen right now, and I'm just like getting energized. I like it.
I appreciate that. Thank you so, so much. I can understand why you have a podcast, because you're just a very good host.
Oh, thank you. Let's keep the compliments flowing, you know?
Yeah, you know what? That's just the best way to live life, right? Like, like, call me corny and cliche, but I'm a total cornball. So everyone, good luck listening to this podcast. I'm the biggest cornball. But it really takes a village to get where you want to go and kind of keep going. So compliments are just the best way to keep each other inspired.
Absolutely. I like that. My dad, something he told me years ago is his goal is to make 3 people smile every day. And it's just to spread that positivity. So I'm like, I don't know if I can do that. 3 people sounds like a lot. So I try to do 1.
Oh, you can do it. I'm sure you do more than 3, David.
Appreciate that. So before we get started, I'd like to ask, what are you drinking today, if anything at all?
Thought you'd never ask. So I'm drinking passion fruit jasmine tea. So it's the passion fruit syrup from Costco. Please, everyone, go get it. I'm not sponsored in any way. It's just really good. and then some jasmine green tea. And it's just really, really yummy. What are you drinking, David?
Thank you for asking. That sounds awesome. I'm drinking, my lovely mother, she made this smoothie. I think I saw orange, spinach, and something else. And so it's a nice little green drink.
I love it. Does it taste good?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. It looks so good. Your mom is amazing.
She's going to listen to this, and I have to agree with that.
I'm glad you're agreeing with her. That looks really good. Okay, definitely your drink is a topper from mine. 1, because your mom made it, and 2, I'm sure it's healthier than mine. But yeah.
Awesome, yeah. Thank you for making the drink. I've seen a lot of people, including myself, I usually just have like water or tea, but this is a pretty creative episode today. I like it with the drinks.
Yeah. I appreciate it. Thanks.
But so I'd love to get right into it. So know that you love fitness and it's been a big part of your life. Mm-hmm. So how has it influenced you? How has it, start with that.
Okay, how's it influenced me? So I, total disclaimer, I've never been athletic. And I never thought I would be. Mm-hmm. But I got into health and fitness for complete aesthetic reasons. I didn't appreciate how I looked. I had low self-esteem, and I really just wanted to build those core values up within me. So I started going to the gym and strength training. And it's been about maybe I want to say 8 months now, so almost hitting a year, and it's been such, and it's been pivotal in my mental health and my professional and personal self-respect, and I won't say confidence for myself. And that sounds so, again, cliche, because that's what a lot of people say. Fitness has made my mental health better, my confidence. And I was really reflecting on this the other day of why fitness has been so pivotal in my life. Like, for example, I was out till 11 last night and I still went to the gym at 5 a.m. Wow. Like, it's just, it's a non-negotiable.
Yeah.
And it's because the discipline, the commitment that you put into saying, okay, I'm going to eat well throughout the day. I'm going to go to the gym and I'm going to try my best. And then I'm going to feel like shit and I'm going to do it all over again. So that commitment to yourself builds discipline, and that discipline in return builds self-love and compassion and kindness for yourself, which then then just pour onto your mental health and your professional and your personal confidence. So that is what or how fitness has changed my life. And I would really encourage anyone to lean into any type of fitness. It doesn't have to be strength training. It can be yoga. It can be running, walking, whatever it is, whatever your flow is for you. I would really encourage anyone to find their groove or happiness into fitness if they want to.
Right. I love that, Noah. I think that for myself as well, working out. But before I used to be strength training, I kind of moved to yoga now.
That's okay.
That's been my vibe. And when you said reflecting, I'm like, I like to reflect. I like to journal. I like yoga. So awesome.
Yeah. I love yoga as well.
Yeah. What's your favorite flow? Are you kind of a slow flow kind of person or the high intensity?
Definitely not high intensity. So I tried hot yoga and I don't think I tried hot yoga. I started hot yoga. I tried hot yoga and then I don't think I ever did yoga for another few years after that because it was too intense. And I thought that was like the only yoga you could do. And then I learned that there's like several different types. I don't know all the different types.
Sure.
But I really like yin and yang.
Okay.
Yoga. I don't even know if I'm saying it right or if that's the proper name. Probably butchering it, probably wrong. But it's like a very slow yoga where you feel the stretch and like you go deeper into the stretch, which is why I personally love yoga, because strength training really does take a toll on my body. So yoga really complements it. So yoga and strength training are my two, I want to say if I had two best friends in life, their names would be strength training and yoga, because it's just
nice.
It's such a compliment. That's the type of yoga I love. What kind of yoga do you like?
Oh, I like, I don't even know what the names are, but that, the deeper stretch, I think is so nice.
Yeah.
And anything with the, how do you pronounce it? Shavasana at the end, where you're just laying down and breathing.
Yes.
I get really scared though, because in my yoga class, it's filled with, it's like 10 other people who are a little bit older than I am.
Okay.
And so I fall asleep really easily. And when it's, and it's like 15 minutes of just silence, and I'll wake myself, I'll like feel myself falling asleep, and then I'll wake myself up by snoring. And I get really nervous that other people are going to also wake, like notice it. But yeah.
It happens. It's fine. It happens all the time.
Yeah, I was talking to my instructor and she said that she's seen everything. She's heard people fart, snore, burp, whatever. And I'm like, she's like, from me to you, there'll be no judgment. Like, I appreciate that. Okay, cool. Nice.
It's normal because it's your body releasing, right?
Yeah.
It's like in a sympathetic retreat or system or whatever you call it. So your body feels so relaxed that everything releases. If you're close to Ryerson or if you ever have classes on Wednesday, there's a really good yoga class Ryerson offers.
Okay.
In the evenings, and it's amazing. But if you don't live close to Ryerson, I don't know if I recommend it because it's going to put you to sleep. Like, you need to go to bed right after.
Okay.
It's the instructor is fabulous. She's amazing. The class is just, she loves what she does, and you can tell. So I would definitely recommend her class if you're into yoga.
So honestly, I'm going back to campus in the fall. I know what I'm doing on Wednesdays.
Okay. Okay. Come on. I've been going to her class since summer.
Okay.
Amazing. And she has constant regulars, and she knows the people in her class too. That's how much she just, when you meet her, you'll know that she lives up to expectations and more. I'm probably underselling her at this point.
I love it. So with yoga and working out, how long have you been doing it for? I'm not sure if you said.
Yeah, so no, I didn't say. So I have been doing it only for, so yoga I've always dabbled in.
Okay.
That's a new word for me, dibble dabble.
Dibble dabbled.
And for strength training, only 8 months consistently. Okay. Yeah. So not too long. I'm still very new.
Nice. And so you mentioned that it helps, like that consistency has been very important. So in those 8 months, have you noticed any changes and developments in your mindset towards life as a whole and even school?
Oh man, yeah, that's a whole topic. So with relation to mindset, I have noticed that I am more fearless. I think even brave is a really great word, and it's because you're training, for me, I'm always training till failure. And every week I show up, it doesn't matter how I feel. It doesn't matter what the weather is. No external factors matter other than showing up. And it's that consistency, and it's that not getting it right all the time and failing on your sets, or failing on your reps, sorry. And kind of figuring out as you go, because you're always trying a new program and seeing if this works for you. And it's similar to yoga, where you try a new pose and you're like, oh, I don't know if this feels good or not. Okay, let me do some research and figure it out. Ooh, I don't like this class, or I don't like this type of yoga. Okay, maybe there's something else. Like that continuously effort of trying and showing up for yourself slowly starts to breathe in into other areas of your life. So for example, I used to be really nervous of applying to internships, or even like aside from internship, but roles and industries that I saw myself making the most impact, but I had so many what ifs that I just said, no, maybe another time, maybe next year. And now, because I've just showed up for myself so much, I've shown myself that it's not about, I've understood the quote, progress over perfection. And yeah, that's what fitness teaches you. And that's now what I take into every area of my life. As long as I'm good.
Yeah.
And that is how I'll show up, because not every day is going to be great. And sorry, I'm rambling, because I was reflecting on this the other day too. So it's so funny that you asked me these questions as I was literally journaling about it the other day. I sound like a cornball. I swear, guys, I'm living up to the expectations. I am a cornball. I would really, that's how it changed my life. How has yoga helped you change your mindset? I'm sure your listeners would love to know.
I never thought about that, but I would love to tell you and everyone. Yeah. So I think it's actually awesome that they said you were journaling, because that's something that I've picked up for the last 2.5 months or so doing consistently. Yeah. And I think that it's so powerful. And I think everyone should try to do it, whether it's with a pen and paper or a phone like me. I'm a typer. I can't do the handwriting stuff.
How have you felt journaling has changed your mindset for whether it's professionally or personally?
Yeah. So for myself with mental health, as I guess it's something that we should dive into as well, which I'd love to talk about. Mental health is something I've struggled with over the past couple of years, especially with school, as I'm sure many students have. And so I've been going to therapy, and with that, a lot of practices that I've been doing there It's been about being mindful of emotions and processing things. And for me, I found it easier to process my thoughts and just get it all out there by writing it somewhere. And that's, for me, it's helped me, I feel, be less reactive to situations. Mm-hmm. And just think and kind of help me be at peace. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is so, that's amazing on so many levels. And thanks for being so vulnerable and transparent, not only with me, but your listeners as well. Because mental health is an amazing topic to talk about, but what we're doing to better our mental health is amazing. So hearing that you're in therapy and you're using and you're using the techniques they give you and sharing that with other people to hopefully help them figure it out is really amazing, because that's something I resonate with. I am also in therapy, and it's all about listening to your emotions, or sorry, not listening to your emotions, but really listening to your body. So how does your body feel? Like, do you feel like what sensations are coming up? Because that's your body telling you what you're feeling, right? Yeah. And it gives you a moment to listen instead of react right away, right? So that's really beautiful. And I love that you say, okay, like, journaling is for me, but this is another way I do it, because it doesn't have to be handwriting. Like, I went through a video stage of, like, I just recorded myself talking to myself. And honestly, I felt like that was a little bit more therapeutic, because I just was like ramble and talk to myself. Yeah. And, like, it was really nice, but I don't think I have enough storage.
I was just going to say, the only thing that you have limiting you is your storage.
Yeah, I really don't have enough space for just, I think I need a separate laptop or device for all of my rants about life. So that's really beautiful to hear.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, so going back to your thing about yoga, because I think I forgot to talk about it, how it's helped me. It's been nice. It's like, I feel like yoga is so much, oh, that's awesome. How you're eating that with a spoon? Mm-hmm. That's so cool.
It's actually passion fruit seeds.
Nice. Oh, that's so awesome.
The syrup is, like, the syrup looks like this, like it's in a jar, and then you scoop it out and you can put it on yogurt, you can put it in salad dressings, like you can make it into jam. So yeah, I'm telling you guys, go to Costco. If you don't have a Costco membership, just
get one.
Shimmy your way in. It's fine. You'll figure it out. Everything's figureoutable. And then if you don't want to put like green tea or anything, just put some water in it. And that way you get juice, and you also get the superfood of passion fruit seeds.
Nice. Mm-hmm. That is awesome.
So we're saying about yoga.
Right. So I've done strength training consistently since the pandemic started. So 2020, that's when I got into it at home. And since I started doing yoga a few months ago for myself, I found that I feel like yoga, being in those classes, it's such a more like empowering place to be, because it's like you're there for yourself. Like, you're all that matters is your mat and you. But I feel like in the gym, and this isn't for everyone, but what I found, and especially through social media and the people I'm around, people like to compete at the gym with other people, and they start comparing themselves. And I've been a victim to that as well, but not so much anymore. But I just like the fact with yoga that it's like, it's just you, you know?
I never thought about that. And I love that you brought that up, and we're definitely diving into that right now.
Because I love
it's really important to talk about, and I love that, one, you're self-aware, you found your flow, where you said, okay, I dive into strength training, I tried it, but it actually did the opposite. From what I'm understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, I compared myself a little more, it didn't give me that much happiness compared to yoga. And that's really important, because it's why I say find your flow, whether it's there's so many different types of fitness. It doesn't have to be at a gym. It doesn't have to, it can be anywhere and anything you want. So that's really important. And yoga, I definitely, like, maybe we have the same values, so I keep agreeing with you, but I resonate with you on that when I'm on my mat, like, I think I think a perfect example is like when I get really stressed out, I pull out my yoga mat and I just sit there and I just do downward dog. I just flow like into whatever I feel I need to just release, because I just, my mat is my sense of calm. And so when people ask me where my happy place is, I say on my yoga mat in nature, because it's just me and my mat, and then ideally the woods no bears.
I love that.
No bears.
Hopefully.
But that is great, and I can definitely understand. Now, going to the topic of strength training, I understand what you say of it's a very competitive sport. And when you go to the gym, you can feel a way of, oh, like, am I not dressed a certain way? I don't look a certain way. This person looks like this. They're lifting like this. And you know what? In the beginning, I used to be like that. Yeah. And I even found myself, I'm not a big social media person, and I found myself on Instagram or wherever looking at the girls that had the bodies I wanted and wore clothes that I wish I could wear and whatnot. And then I just said, screw it all. I guess what? I don't know how to squat. I don't have good form. Mm-hmm. I don't have a strong core. I have spaghetti arms. What do you want me to do? Like, this is just my body. This is my life. And I got to the point of, I'm coming here for me, not for anyone else. So and that takes, again, like I said, it doesn't come overnight. I've been at the gym for 8 months, and I've also been at the gym inconsistently for the last few years of my life. Like, I didn't just, that's why I say 8 months consistently, but I've been to the gym multiple times, and I didn't go back because it just felt overwhelming. People look really great, and I'm here with my noodle arms, like, trying to figure things out. And I just got to the point of, I said, this is for me, and I'm going to figure it out. And now I'm at that point where I squat 100 pounds and I shoulder press a certain amount. Yeah. And I just,
nice.
I still have noodle arms. It's fine. I'm not mad about it. But if y'all could see my face, you'd see the anger in my eyes and the little noodle arms. But it has helped me embrace every part of strength training and has helped me love my journey. And then with that, you start to build community and you start to realize the strength training community is really kind. They're mm-hmm. like, they are so kind and so welcoming, and they just want you to do well. They just want to push you to do well. So that is my spiel about the strength training community.
I love it. Basically, join it if you can.
If you want. At the end of the day, cool. My whole intention of my spiel is finding your love for fitness, whatever that is. If it's walking, running, yoga, Pilates, kickboxing, I don't care. Just get that movement in. That's the premise of the conversation. Find your movement, and hopefully that spills over into your mental health in a good way. And if it doesn't, okay, readjust and find something else. And maybe it's more artsy. Maybe it's reading. However you find your flow to spill over to help you better yourself, that's the whole premise of the conversation. So that is where I'm coming from.
I love it. You know, I love talking to people about just like mindfulness and just think like being emotions. And I think on the topic of mental health, actually before that, please tell everyone and myself, you know, what program are you in? What year? All that. Because that's like the basics that we skipped over.
Yeah. So everyone, I am a fourth year business technology management student at TMU, so Toronto Metropolitan University. And by day, I'm a student, and I also work part-time as a project coordinator for a nonprofit. And I am currently in the season of figuring out my next role. So whether that's continue continue to look for another internship or look somewhere else for full time. So as you can tell, that little stutter of still figuring it out. So yeah, that's a little bit about me.
Amazing. Yeah. So on the topic of that, I wanted to ask, so you've been a student for 4 years, interesting university. And in that time, what's the biggest lesson that you've learned? Could be a good lesson or a bad lesson.
D's still get degrees.
There you go.
Their degrees have a D in it for a reason, because you still get a degree. It's why there's no A in there, because if you don't get an A, it's fine. That's the biggest lesson I've learned, to be honest.
I like that. I feel like when I came into university, I had such a pressure that I put on myself to get a 4.33, because I never really understood how difficult that would actually be. And when I didn't get it at first, in first year, I like burned myself out to the point of wanting to drop out. And I was like, man, university sucks. And then, thankfully, I just took a moment. I'm like, okay, let me just relax for a few weeks because it's the break. Mm. And I recalibrated and I realized that, okay, I'm pushing myself way too hard. And I saw my to-do list and I would get through everything for a day. And instead of resting, I would take stuff from the next day and bring it over to today to hope that, you know, it'll make tomorrow easier. But it was just a cycle of always working. And so my mental health.
Like me, yeah.
Yeah. And so I'm wondering, if that was how it affected my mental health. I'm wondering how you and your mental health was affected by school.
Yeah, it sounds like we had a very similar journey. So for context, I did a joint program. So I did 3-year centennial and for business management. And then I before going to university, I worked for a few years and then I came back as a mature student. So that even adds a little dollop of, okay, I'm not 18 or I'm not 18 going into university. I'm a mature student. And do I want to do this? Do I want to be here? And it really does put a toll on your mental health. And I was in the same boat of wanting to be hyper focused, hyper productive I would work 7 days a week and I just would always have something to do. And for some reason, and to me, it felt like an accomplishment at that time for who I was. And I'm still working on it now. Now I say, okay, I'll work 5 days a week. But sometimes I squeeze working on Saturday. But I'm learning now that, you know what, Saturday and Sundays are my creativity, my rest. Because I genuinely do love learning. So saying, okay, Saturday and Sunday are my learning or my creativity or whatever I want to do. If that's staying in bed and watching Netflix or if that's going for a hike, however my rest and recharge looks to me. And then saying I only work Monday to Friday. That's it. Yeah. And capping it for a few hours. So saying like I have one task that's like really heavy and then I have two other mediocre tasks that like don't take so much energy and that's about it. So it's something that I'm still working on finding a balance. And if anyone has any tips, let me know. Because it's definitely a struggle of in a society of hustle culture that says if you're not getting the latest or the most fanciest internship, or if you're not getting that certain GPA, or if you're not president of every student group or whatever it is, then you're not doing well. And I really want to stress that it's okay to work for what season you're in. Like if you're in a season where your mental health is not good and you can only achieve one task a day, that's amazing. That's a really big win. But if you're in a season of, okay, things are a little bit more busy, I don't have a lot of rest and recharge time, okay, that's okay too. But But also know that when your next season comes, you need to plan for recharging and plan for resting, because that's just as important. And when I was working with my friend before school to figure out a healthy balance and whatnot, he said that resting and recharging is just as important, or even more important than when you do work. So I really take an effect, like, I think tips I could share is the Pomodoro method. So I put on a playlist for 20 minutes and then I have like a 10 minute break, and then saying, okay, like I have a longer lunch. I'm just like, I know they say you're not supposed to like watch things while you eat, but I'm like,
they don't know why.
Yeah. They say you're supposed to focus on chewing and eating. And I'm like, no, I want to watch something.
Oh, is it like to be mindful and present in the moment? I see. Okay. Yeah.
I think like, but in my instance, I meal prep every week. So I'm like, I was mindful enough when I made this food. I am going to reward myself by watching something. So for me, that's what I do, or I say, okay, like, after dinners when I really get to like lay it on my bed and watch Netflix, and like, so it's finding those little balances I found have really helped me. I would love to know how you have kind of like taken a step back and figure out your balance.
Yeah, I think it's really awesome to hear your just how you're living your life. And you said seasons. Can you explain what that means or what you mean by that?
Yeah. So what I mean by seasons is I believe in, and I'll say my life because I don't want to generalize everyone else, but in my life, I have different seasons of my life. So I say, for example, when I'm in school, September to April is very busy.
Okay.
Oh, you have a dog? Oh my goodness.
Let's
pivot for one moment because that's more important.
What As always. Kind of
dog you have, and what's your dog's name?
I have a Shih Tzu Bichon Poodle. She's a little rowdy right now, and her name is Daisy.
Oh, Daisy. Daisy just wants to be a part of the conversation.
I know. What do you have to say? What's good? Hi. Okay. Yeah.
I love her.
Yeah.
I love it. See, just being a part of the conversation. But looking it back, where were we at?
I was asking you about seasons and what you meant by that when you were saying it.
Seasons. So in the moment of seasons, what I mean, or what I mean by seasons is, so for my life, I say from September to April is a very busy season. So relaxing and recharging, I do my best. I genuinely do, but I know that, for example, I had midterms last week. So the last 2 weeks, I was just going at it. There wasn't much recharging, relaxing, but I said, okay, this week is where I'm relaxing and recharging, hence the podcast, because like these are things that are fun for me. So I'm like, okay, this is where I get to take a break, take a moment of rest, and then next week, dive back into it in a healthy balance, of course. And then for summer, that's where I really get to take a moment and just like be and build memories, spend time with my friends more than I usually do from September to April, and just kind of really enjoy life and soak up the sun, because I'm a huge outdoorsy. So that is what I mean. And that will look very different when I start working full time. So, so I don't know when my busy season will be at work, but for example, if it's in October, then I know, okay, that's a time where I'm working a little bit more overtime, and I have more meetings, and I have maybe my lunches are my meetings too. But then I say, okay, November's a very more relaxed time, and I can take vacation, and I can have a balance, and that's what I mean by seasons. And that's something I've learned from, I think it was Chrissy Chella. She is a female entrepreneur, a fitness influencer, someone who I really respect as just a woman in business. And she talked about seasons of like, that's how she has found her balance of it's okay to have seasons where you're very busy and you're a little bit more hyper-focused, but then you have seasons where you're just going to like take a second, take a break, because you want to recharge for the next season, right?
Yeah. I like that.
Hey.
That's a very nice, that's a very unique way of looking at life. I really like that. It almost seems, I don't know if I'm using the word correctly, but it almost seems like holistic. I don't know if that's the right word.
Holistic. It does. It does. But if you think of it, it's kind of like farming, right? Yeah. Like when you look at farming, this is a very weird example or analogy, I want to say. Another thing I'm famous for is my very weird analogies that work. But analogy, when I think of it, it's like farming. Like I'm not a farmer, so I'm going to throw my rails out there, but I'm gonna say in the winter it's more, I'm just gonna guess, it's more planting and it's more planting and kind of getting things ready for the next season. So it's a little bit more off. They don't really have much to do, right? Yeah. Their hours are not so aggressive compared to in the spring and summer when things are starting to grow and they need to be fertilized and there needs to be more work. So it's the same thing with humans, right? Like in the winter, we're a little bit more low energy. We need a little bit more rest. We need a little bit more quality time with our loved ones because there's not much sun. There's not much to do, right? And there, so because of that, we don't have so much work. But then in the spring and summer, there's a lot more to do. There's a lot more quality time to be spent with our friends. There's also maybe a little less, and maybe there's a little bit more work as well. So kind of taking life into seasons, just as like farmers or even the weather does, right?
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah,
but going back to what you asked, how do I balance and find that balance for myself? So my tips are, honestly, this is something I started doing only a few months ago, but it's that Saturdays and Sundays I don't plan whatsoever. I leave them open-ended completely, and I am a planner. I will say that I see your eyes widened a little bit. I'm a planner, but on the weekends I like to keep it open-ended, because if I want to sleep in on a Saturday to recharge from the week, I can do that. Or if I want to wake up early, go to the gym, whatever it may be. And something I've started to learn how to do is to say no to people.
Oh, that's powerful.
Which is, yeah, it's been very hard. But learning how to put my own needs and reflecting on what I need in the moment and being able to verbalize that has helped me a lot as well. And so kind of trying to eliminate that FOMO has been a big help, because I'm like, okay, they can have fun and I'll be with my friends next time. But today, right now, I need to be home, relaxing, just not saying a word and watching Disney Plus.
Yeah. Oh, love it. I love Disney Plus. But I love that. That is, you said it way better than I did. Definitely learning the power of saying no, something I've been leaning into as well. And letting go of planning on certain days. You said it so much better than I did. I absolutely I resonate with it. And we have the same values, so I'm biased when I say 100% to all of those things and more. Yeah. It's definitely, it has worked for me, and I definitely say no a lot. It's very hard. And also, I'll even push the ball even a little further. I don't know if you do this, but I don't respond right away anymore. My friends know I love them. I care about them. I'm here to support them. And if they text me, if it's an urgent matter, 100%. But if it's during the week, I've communicated with them so they understand the boundaries of our friendship.
Yeah.
That because that's very important, right? Of that. Okay, during the week, I am a little bit more busy, so I don't have time to talk as much. And if I do get a chance to recharge and relax, then I want that time for myself, because I do have time to recharge and relax. I take the evenings, but I take the evenings for myself.
Yeah.
To reflect and wind down. And whatever that looks like, it's usually Netflix and popcorn and
nice,
a lot of Vanilla ice cream. But that's how I want to. I don't find it recharging to spend hours on the phone or on social media or things like that, right? So then I say on the weekends, like fill it with memories and good times and deep conversations and things like that, right? But it's not one or the other. Sometimes during the week I want to have a little bit more chit chats with my friends, but
yeah,
but they know as a basis that usually I am diving into work and focusing on my professional and personal development. And it's what worked for me, but I can definitely say that not responding right away, and saying no has been a life changer for me. Ask my anxiety. She feels otherwise. but yeah, I definitely resonate with that.
Yeah, I love that. And actually, so when you say not responding right away, I was always someone who needed like right away. Mm-hmm. If someone texts me, I need to be right away, message. And yeah, like 60% of the time that was fine. But then the other 40%, I would say something and I wouldn't think fully. I just hit send. Mm-hmm. I don't like how it sounds. I don't like the phrasing and I can't go back on it. Mm-hmm. And it's something that I had to learn at my co-op now where I'm at. It's that everyone I'm working with, they take their sweet time to respond.
I love it.
And even when they're typing, they're taking their time. They're thinking everything out. They're deleting whatever. And so I've tried to apply that to my life now because there's ultimately no rush. And of course, there's some urgent times. You have to be quick. But I would say, in my experiences, for the most part, there's no real rush or pressure to respond. Mm-hmm. And for me, my anxiety is always like, they're going to get mad at you if you don't respond, or they're going to whatever, just mm-hmm. ignore you. But when in actuality, it's pretty calm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that's, like you said, it's been such a big improvement in my life, just taking my time.
I love it. I can say that that's something that when I'm at my co-ops to a lot of the leaders, they take a minute to respond. And I feel like they usually even take 24 hours. Like if it's, wow, if it's not urgent, right? Okay. Like of course things need to get done, but if things aren't urgent, like it's someone asking you to, for example, if someone's asking you to attend an event, or if someone's asking you to do something that gives up your time, they take a minute and think about it.
Yeah.
And if they don't know and they have to respond right away, they'll say, let me think about that and get back to you in 24 hours. Right. So they're giving a response, but they're letting them know that I'm going to take a minute. And yeah, that is something that's so powerful and something I'm still struggling with right now. I have a few friends I haven't responded to and I'm like, oh, I should respond. I should respond. But it's nothing urgent.
Yeah.
And if it was, they're always welcome to call. And I think that, but I think with that being said, it's really important to, it's easy to say, but it's better to communicate with your friends, because in a generation of ghosting and things like that, communication has really lost its love, I want to say. So if you want to sustain long-term friendships, and which I believe for me are very important, then it's important to have those conversations to say, I love you and I'm here for you, but these are my boundaries of my friendship and these are my values. Like, do you resonate with them? Do you align with them? No? Okay, great. Good to know. I wish you well.
Yeah.
But if they do, then amazing, fantastic. So you have those conversations up front, and you can live your life peacefully.
Yeah. I think you put it so well, because communication, it's always been said, it's so important with your partner or with your partner. And yeah, I feel like people forget about it with friends, and that's still a relationship that you have to work on. And in my own experiences with a lot of my friends, they don't communicate very well. And as I'm talking to you, and I think you're also in therapy, you're working on yourself and a lot of self-improvement, and so am I. I have some friends who aren't at that point in life, or that's not a priority for them, and that's fine too. But it's like, it's so interesting to recognize that and see that, like, we're all living our own lives. And it's like, people can't mind read. You just gotta say it, be clear, and it changes the whole world, honestly.
Oh, 100%. And it's funny that you relate it back to relationships, because that's exactly how I said it. I have conversations with my friends of expectations of friendships. Mm-hmm. So if we have been friends for a certain amount of time and I feel like, okay, this is going to be a long-term friendship, I openly have the conversation, are what I ask, what are your friendship values? What are your friendship boundaries? Not expectations, because I'm not here to live up to anyone's expectations. But what are your boundaries and what are your values as a friend? So do you value honesty, kindness? What is your love language? These are all things that you work with your partner. But then I don't understand why that's also not valued with friendships. And I think that's why as time goes on, there's so many articles coming out that a lot of people only have one or two good friendships.
Yeah.
And it's really sad to say, or really sad to hear about and learn, because it's something that I think, I don't know, I'm not talking from experience. I'm just talking from my two cents, my unsolicited opinion. I'm sure it could be solved with communication.
Yeah.
Right? So, but again, don't know, my two cents of my unsolicited opinion. But as I mature and as I figure out friendships, that's something that has saved my friendships, and it's helped me figure out how to have long sustaining friendships is through honestly communication and figuring out your friendship boundaries and values.
Yeah. I love that. And I feel like relationships, and I've actually thought about that. Like for myself, I only have a few close friends. Mm-hmm. And I think about it and it's like, I feel like at a certain point, and maybe it's as I'm just getting older month by month, year by year, it's like, I realize that I only have so much energy that I can sacrifice to give out. And I feel like it's easier to manage that with a few people and give them more rather than spreading it thin to multiple.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I love that you talked on this. Like, I only have, not only, and I realize we both said that. And
it's true.
We do. I remember I was just gonna touch on that one. You said only a few friends. I naturally said it. It's and the reason why I touch on that, it's because it's a word that should be eliminated. Like when someone says, oh, I'm just emailing you, or I'm just informing you. It's a topic that I read in an article where it said that word should be removed, because you're not just doing, it's you are doing something. Right?
Yeah.
It's not I think. It's either you believe it or you don't, not you think.
Yeah.
Right. That's another conversation we could go into. But having a solid group of friends is key. And I was just about to say only. I have a solid group of maybe 4-5.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just want to say a handful. Like 3 to 5 good friends that I can say that are my favorite human beings in my life. I love humans and they're amazing, but I want to say in my life who are part of my regular day-to-day. And that is enough for me. But I do remember when I was younger, I wanted a whole bunch of friends and I wanted to know everyone, and I feel like that is something that depletes your energy. And it's something that I actually, funny enough, went through in the gym. Like I am very naturally I don't want to say social, but I do, if someone comes up to me and chats with me, I do lean in and I do share that warmth. So I think because of that, I naturally attract other people to me. And I'm totally open and okay with that. But in the beginning of my gym journey, I would talk to everyone. Mm-hmm. And now I realize that that expends a lot of energy that I don't have to give. So now I just don't. I have my tight gym community that I keep to.
Yeah.
And that's about it. Everyone else, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But I'm not in the season, like I say, where I have that energy to expend, because a lot of it needs to be focused on my professional and personal development in the season, like I say.
Right.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And it's funny you say it, because I see, like when I go to the gym, I see some people who talk to everybody. They walk by people like high schoolers, people in their 80s, giving them bumps, high-fiving them, whatever. And I'm like, wow, you have a lot of energy to give, mm-hmm. and I'm here for it. Mm-hmm. But so kind of pivoting, because I thought about this for myself, and as I'm sure many people do, I don't want to generalize, but we have our bad days. You know, we're feeling good, amazing, and then one day you wake up and it's just... So I'm wondering for yourself, how do you manage and how do you self-regulate on those days?
Ooh, you know, it's funny enough, I was having a bad day today.
Oh, man. Oh, I'm sorry about that.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thanks. So it's something that I am, total disclaimer, I'm learning. So I used to be the type of person that even when I was having a bad day, I would put on a very happy face for everyone. And I would ask them, how are you doing? And I would lean into how they were feeling and making them feel warm. And I say I'm a recovering people pleaser. Mm-hmm. And now I'm leaning into therapy has helped me lean into how I'm feeling. And if I'm not feeling, what do I need? Right. So when I was having my bad day today, I was like, what do I need? Like, and I immediately said, I'm not interested in talking to, I'm not interested in giving my energy to people that are not a part of my regular day to day. So if you're not part of my regular day to day, I don't have that energy because I don't want to. Mm-hmm. Right. And I said, okay, I need to sort through my thoughts because that's what helps me. So then I booked. So then I had a chat with one of my peers of just working through that, and immediately I felt better. Yeah. So that is something that I can say that has helped me is when I say, okay, I'm the type of person that when I'm not feeling so good, I want to be on my own with my yoga mat.
Yeah.
Good cup of tea or a little bit of chocolate, or I want to just stay in bed for an hour. Like, I just want to wrap myself up and just like take a minute to be like, this sucks. Right. However long I can, like, if I can take an hour, that'd be great. But if I only have 10 minutes, then that's all I got. But I want a few minutes to be like, this sucks. Like, I hate this right now. And then I like to reach out to, whether it's like a mentor or a coach or my friend, to like air through my thoughts. So like, I'm not just spiraling and I'm not the only one talking to myself, because that really does that you can only challenge your thoughts for so long until it's just, you either spiral or you're leaning towards positivity. And I know in these moments, I'm not leaning towards positivity. I'm going to spiral. So that is what I can say I need. And what has worked for me. I would love your advice on how do you deal with the bad days and what you need from those days.
Yeah. First, I mean, as you said before, I'll say it to you, thank you for being so vulnerable right now and talking to me. This is the second time we're ever talking, but I really appreciate you talking to me about everything. And I like being vulnerable with people. It's a weird thing maybe to say, but it's nice to just, it's nice to like, it's nice to feel human, you know? So I love that, how you said, like asking myself, what do I need? And that's something that I do as well. And like you were saying, I'm a recovering people pleaser. When I would feel upset or be sad or any negative emotion, I would tell myself in the past that I shouldn't be feeling this. I'm alive. This is great. Everything's amazing. And I was just dismissing everything. And I wasn't allowing myself to feel these emotions. And so it would just build up and up and up. And then eventually I would erupt in the form of anger, which for me is how I express these not unresolved, but unprocessed emotions. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so now I ask myself exactly that. What do I need? And I try to remember. This was after my first time ever doing hot yoga. The instructor said at the end of the practice that everything is temporary. Everything happy, sad, positive, negative, everything is temporary. And to me, that just resonated with, one, being in the moment. But two, when I'm having those bad days, it's okay to feel that. It's not a bad thing. It's not a waste of time. And it'll pass eventually. So I just try to ride it like a wave. You know, the bad stuff will come in and then eventually it'll go out. So I try not to fight the thoughts. I try not to understand them or pick them apart, because for me, that only makes it worse. Mm-hmm. And I kind of just try to relax, distract myself, not to put too much pressure on me to do anything, and just ride it out.
I love that. I love your analogy of going with the flow and taking it as a wave, and mm-hmm. And I love what you took away from your yoga instructor, because that's something I heard a while ago, and it really sinks in today.
Yeah.
And it's helping me feel the suckiness. But that will then in return help me become stronger and resilient, because that you take a minute to let it suck, and then you go back and you do what you gotta do. You don't have any unprocessed feelings. You're not gonna be irritable. So I really, really love that.
Yeah, thank you. I don't know if you've ever had this thought. I feel like for whatever reason, our just energy, our vibes, our thoughts are just like, it's the same.
Yeah, it's they're on the same frequency.
Yeah, exactly. So I have these, oh goodness, I just lost what I was going to say. I forgot what I was going to say, and it's on the tip of my tongue. But I'll let my mind think about it. Yeah, I'll come back to it. I think our emotions are a really strange thing. And thoughts. Yeah. Like I see people around me who don't process them. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say properly, because there's a million ways to do it, but they just don't process them in a healthy way. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I look at them and I'm like, you know, like when someone gets angry at a situation, like in traffic, whatever, it's like, before I would always be like, are they mad at me? Like, did I do something wrong? Mm-hmm. But now I kind of look at it, it's like, they have their own life. They have a million things going on. Mm-hmm. They could be mad at everything, and I'm sure that I am not the root cause of it, and that's alleviated a lot of the pressure from my people pleasing days, where I'm like, I have to be this positive force all the time. Mm-hmm.
I'm biased because we have the same values, or we have similar values, but it's why many people, and I don't want to generalize, because I am still one of those people, by the way, that when I have unprocessed feelings, that is how I become triggered. That is how I am irritable. And actually, I found a few weeks ago, I was giving my energy to a lot of people that I just didn't want to. But I just felt the compulsion to make them happy and give them what they needed and what they asked for.
Yeah.
Without asking, does this serve me? Does this make me happy? Is this what I need right now? And those sound like very selfish questions, but that's how society has trained us to be. Is if we ask ourselves, is this what we need? Do I have the energy to give this? Do I have the mental capacity to give this? These are all selfish questions, and they're really not, because then in return I was left feeling angry and hurt and resentful and irritated. And this was just a few days ago. So it's why I say this. I keep saying, by the way, I'm still in this boat, and I'm still healing, and I'm still growing, and and because I want to share my experience as non-judgmental, because I'm still learning and I'm still growing. And that's okay. And I had to circle back and reflect to, okay, what do I need to do?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are my core values? What are my goals? Because I'm obviously straying away from it. If I'm doing things that don't align with my values, and I'm becoming resentful and irritated and whatnot. So I think that's really important to always be reflecting on your goals and your core values and do things that make you happy, because then in return, you don't have that resent or that anger for other people.
Yeah. I think, yeah, you put it perfectly. Like, something I'm learning is that showing love towards other people, not even in like a romantic way, but just in general, love from person to person is so important. And I feel like a prompt that I always see when I'm journaling, it's like, the way that you show love to other people, are you showing yourself that same amount and quality of love?
Oh, I love that. And I can say lately, I have not been showing myself love. I've just been really wrapped up in work and everything else that I have not been. And I can say it's why I definitely slipped off my goals. And wow, reflecting moment right here. I'm going to make a little side note and reflect after this, because that's just amazing. You couldn't have said it better than I would have. That's amazing.
Yeah. And so my brain fart has ended, because I remember what I was going to say and I made a note of it. And it's actually perfect that it happened now, because I don't know if you're saying we're on the same frequency. And I'm like, yeah, we are. And I don't know if you ever have these moments when you're talking to somebody, but I'm having this now. It's like where it's almost like I've always thought that like I'm coming into people's lives for a reason, and people come into each other's lives for a reason. And it's like, I'm always thinking from my perspective, like this conversation, we met and you're here and it's like, you're coming into my life. But at the same time, I feel like something that I realize is that obviously everyone sees life from their own perspective. And sometimes you're coming into someone else's life to help them in that moment. And I think that us talking, it's a really awesome way that happened. I'm so happy that we're able to talk, because it's been such like an eye-opening and such a reflective hour that we've just had. And I think it's amazing.
I can't believe we've only, this is the second time we've talked. I can't believe that.
Yeah. I know.
And for context, everyone, the first time we talked was maybe 20 minutes.
Yeah. Like a week ago, yeah. I think.
Yeah. So this is the second time we're talking, and I've just taken it in. I'm just sharing all of who I am and experiences and all of that good fun stuff that I hope are talked about more. So I love that you've created a space where people can come on and have a really good conversation and feel loved and supported. So that is absolutely amazing. And I'm happy we connected, because I guess this is the second time.
I know. Like, I'm thinking about it as I'm talking about all these things that like I've only talked to my therapist about, and I'm like, whoa, like I don't feel uncomfortable. It just feels like natural. It's like I want to open up.
You know? I'm so grateful, and I feel just as comfortable as well, and I'm happy that you're finding that love and confidence within yourself, because it's all you. I'm glad you feel safe, but this is it's also on you as well. It's recognizing that confidence that you have found within yourself, to feel comfortable in those parts of you that are growing and evolving. And those are the most beautiful parts of you, by the way, I think.
Thank you.
Because that is what really connects you to people. And what the world needs more of. So keep on sharing who you are.
Thank you. And you too. I mean, I can't even say better than you did. But thank you so much. And the final question I have, I'm going to flip it on to you right now. Do you have any questions for me about what we've just talked about or beyond? Just anything.
Yeah. So what I would love to know is how has leaning in to mental health helped you understand who you want to be?
Wow, that is a phenomenal question. So how is leaning into mental health help me figure out who I want to be?
Yeah.
So I think that me growing up as a young man, I've never really been taught to show emotion or express it or just talk about it as a whole. And I know many of my friends have things feel the exact same way. And my father, he never really expressed too much of his own emotions. It was very like infrequent. And so I never knew how to properly process it. And when I was in high school, I was like, oh, I'm so lucky. Like I have my mental health is in tip top shape. I'm excellent. And looking back at it, it's because I just kept dismissing anything negative and I would never actually face the issues head on. And so the last, 6 months I've really started to try to just like develop myself and focus on myself and, you know, face these problems that I pushed away for so long. And it's helped me just be more grateful. And even though I have these, not issues, but, you know, mental health things like anxiety, namely, I now see it in a different lens where it's not like it's a bad thing and I need to get rid of it and it's awful, but I'm learning how to live with it and how to balance that out with the rest of my life. And it's helped me, I feel, be a lot more grateful, mindful, and I mean, like you said before, just be able to connect with people a lot easier.
Holy shit. I'll go with a phenomenal answer.
Thank you.
Wow. I love that you talked about being a man and leaning into your emotions. That's really important. I love that you're changing that, because coming from a family, it sounds like that wasn't expressed and that wasn't normalized, and correct me if I'm wrong too. So now you're taking the leap of faith to change that, which is very heavy, right? And then now you're not dealing with, but you're figuring out all these other aspects of yourself, of anxiety and whatever else, right? Which in return is helping you love yourself more and being more grateful for parts of your life and things that go well and don't. And something that, if you're okay with me offering advice or a different take.
Yeah, by all means.
So I had a coach that really reframed my way of looking at anxiety and depression. So she said they're your superpowers. So she said that it's not something that you're dealing with or something of issue. She was like, when you have anxiety, your body's telling you that something doesn't feel right. Something you're doing doesn't feel right. So listen to your body. That's your superpower. Like when you're in a conversation and you feel that anxiety and you feel that shallow breath and like that, like I can't breathe, it's because something doesn't feel right. So don't do it anymore. Don't do it. Just don't do it. Just walk away. Okay, it's not that easy. Sometimes you just walk away. but you know not to do it again because it's your superpower. And she's like, when you're depressed, it's because you're ruminating about the past and you're burnt out, you're too tired, whatever it is, but your body is telling you what it needs. So instead of resisting it and looking at it as, not saying you're resisting it, but looking at it as an issue or dealing with it, it's your superpower. It's your friend. So that's why I call my anxiety her and I call my depression her, because I look at them as their own little entities and they're my friends. But that's just my unsolicited advice, and take it as you wish. But that I think is just a nice way of reframing how we look at mental health, because I think that's a common way of not saying how you look at it, but I'm saying how people talk about it as things I'm dealing with or issues I have. And I wish that it was reframed as my superpower or my friends, because you don't look at confidence as something we deal with. We don't look at we don't look at confidence as something that we're dealing with or an issue. So why is anxiety or depression like stigmatized as a bad way? Yes, there's things it hinders us. I understand the scientific aspect, but I think helping reframing it would really help change things. Anyways, that's my two cents. That I wanted to spin out there, but I love that answer, and I'm happy that you felt comfortable sharing that.
Yeah, thank you so much. Like you just said perfectly, reframing is so powerful. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it seems like such a simple thing and it's so obvious, but it's so difficult to do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But Alicia, that's all from me. Thank you so much for taking an hour out of your evening. I really appreciate You're it. Welcome. Thank you so much for talking to me. Yeah, it was awesome.
You're very welcome. And thank you so much for having me on The Real Ones. I absolutely loved being here. I love this conversation and I can't wait to do it again.
Absolutely. And to everyone listening, thank you so much. I hope you all have an amazing morning, afternoon, evening, or night. Bye.